All right, welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 482, I think. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Earl drinks water. Fuck water.
Earl does drink water, and he's here with us drinking water.
Water is the element that gives us life, as I earned in the original Mortal Kombat movie.
There you go.
It's inspirational.
All good wisdom comes from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Specifically the movie. The first one, though, not the second one.
We don't talk about the second.
Yeah. Jeff is here, too, but I don't know. He's smoking or something. He'll be back.
He used his animality. That's what happened.
Again, we have a pretty good list of games here. A bunch that Jeff thinks are fake because I played them. Should we do the news first, though?
Yeah.
There were some delays.
Some, I mean...
Or all. Everything that was left was delayed.
It is weird. I mean, I guess we'll get into it. I mean, the easiest one to talk about, you think, is Final Fantasy, because that was only pushed back a few weeks.
Yes.
Which made me turn on it.
It made everybody turn on it. Until and then this today. Morning happened.
I was like, I think I might get that. I think it sounds interesting. And then they push it to a week before
Cyberpunk.
And I'm like, okay, well, now I'm not going to play it. I would play it like for a few hours and then move on to Cyberpunk, which is the game I really want to play, and never play Final Fantasy again. That's what would happen.
Well, it was like CD Projekt Red heard you, like, Tony needs time to play Final Fantasy VII R, so we're going to give him time. We're going to give him half the year to play Final Fantasy VII.
That's really nice of them.
That was considerate. I mean, that was above and beyond anything I would have expected from them. So, yes. So, Final Fantasy VII moved from early March to April 10th, which, as Tony said when it was announced, made it saying it was an awkward sandwich because it would be a week after Resident Evil 3 remake and a week before Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, and there's no way you're getting through Final Fantasy 7R in you know,
a week.
What, yeah. Yeah, not only you're not getting through, you're not getting anywhere close to like halfway.
Well, I mean, right. You could be. I mean, we still don't know how much that game actually makes up, because it's not the full Final Fantasy VII.
That's true. It's like it's supposed to be what, at least three games.
We don't know. I don't think they've ever.
They haven't announced it. So.
But it's more than one.
Yeah, but they did say that this is a full experience. So, I mean, who knows what that means? Because a full experience could also be a 10-hour game. But, yeah, I think people hear full experience from Final Fantasy and they're expecting 30 to 40 hours of gameplay. But
yeah, we'll see. But yes, I mean, but that was the start of the week. I mean, I would say this week, it was a long week, but we're still technically only Thursday. Who knows what Friday's going to bring. So yes. So this was, I think this was Tuesday morning. And this was like the first thing that broke. And then like maybe 10 minutes later, Square is also like, oh yeah, that Avengers game we promised you folks? It's not coming out in May anymore. Let's put that in September as well. So that got pushed back to September.
That's funny. I didn't realize it was coming in May.
I honestly
thought it was this fall.
I finally pre-ordered it last week.
Really?
I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this. I'm in. I'm sold. And now we're going to move it.
Well, and it's funny, at least for me, I don't know about you folks, but it went from like, oh, I would check this out, to like, oh, okay, now you're just next gen bait, so I'm gonna wait until that version comes out because you're gonna be so close to the system launching that it doesn't make any sense to get it on my current systems.
Yep, you wait till you get whatever your new system's gonna be.
Yeah, because before like May, it's like, okay, I could pay it during the summer or whatever. There's nothing going on. It's September now. It's like, yeah, I can wait to 2 months or whatever it's going to be. And the weird thing with this, again, kind of to Tony's point, they've been very sporadic with actually showing the game. I don't think we've seen it since last summer.
And the second time they showed it, right, when it looked a little bit better.
Oh, wait, no, that's not true. We saw it at New York Comic Con. Because that's right. When they revealed that.
That was when it looked a little bit better.
The second reveal was much more recent.
Yeah. So, but yes, they did that. They announced it the other day, and that was that. Okay, so that was Tuesday. Wednesday, pretty even kill. Pretty calm, pretty quiet. Thursday. Well, we'll get into Thursday morning because that brought its own set of disappointment for a certain sector of fans. but around noon, news broke that Cyberpunk 2077 had been moved from April, about 3 weeks of 3 months from now, to September, which is much, much later in the year. And that did not go over as well with a lot of people.
I was sitting in my office and it like popped up on my news feed and I just shouted, fuck!
It was one of the rare times where I'm not by my computer. I was at lunch and I got back to the news. I'm like, oh, this can't be real. People are just kind of speculating. And I'm like, oh, okay. This explains so much of my timeline right now.
It's like, this is why everyone's angry.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think of the, I mean, like I said, the Final Fantasy one is nothing. It's a month, if that.
Right.
So it's, you know, it throws people off a bit, maybe, but it's not a big deal. The Cyberpunk, I think, is a bigger deal because it's the longest day. I also think of the three, it seems to have been the most anticipated one.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, and now it's another one of those ones that's like right there at the cusp of new gen. So
yes, and I think even more than Avengers that would benefit from it.
Right.
So yeah, it was a, and it's kind of funny because it is kind of that week. It's kind of like when everybody gets back from vacation, that time off, and it's like, are we actually going to be able to hit these deadlines now? And it's like, no. No. So,
not gonna happen.
So that's why you see these days this week, and I assume we'll probably have from what it seems, this Jason from Kotaku seems to be hinting that there may be a few more in the future.
What's even coming out to delay now?
That is a good question. I mean, the only one I could think of that would really cause or freak out right now is Animal Crossing.
I think for you.
No, not for me. Not for me. I'm talking about.
Well, could you imagine Jeff if that got delayed? Jeff's he would have a heart attack.
There's a lot of, there was a lot of people who freaked out. I'm not an Animal Crossing fan. Well, whatever. But it's one of those games that it just has this very hungry, devout fandom, and I remember even the day from 2019 to 2020 was very bad for them. And like you have to realize, for these people, like the last Animal Crossing game was what, 7 years ago?
Oh God,
if seven, something like that. So yes, like I have friends. It was ages ago. I have friends who were so mad when the Wii U did not get one. There was like five people on the Wii U, and somehow I knew all five of them were upset that it didn't get Animal Crossing. So, I'm trying to think of, I was talking to somebody, I'm like, this really, like, I think, I forget, it was maybe Shaq News, who wrote an article that there's no games coming out in February. Like, there's, I mean, there's games coming out in February, but there's nothing major coming
nothing
out in February.
Nothing big, yeah.
And it was just like one of those things where it's like, oh, yeah, that is kind of the thing, isn't it? Like a lot of ports and stuff. I guess Iron Man VR, but nobody counts that.
Sure. It's a game.
Yeah, like lots of collections or, you know, there's the Bayonetta Vanquish 10th anniversary thing. And
I mean, we just got a new trailer, but maybe they can move Doom Eternal back. Yeah, that's really it for like the first. Oh, I mean, if The Last of Us 2 got the aid,
that's like the. There's that, and there's Final Fantasy Remake. Those are like the only two real huge AAA games coming out in the spring now.
It's really funny because I'm on Wikipedia right now. Wikipedia breaks it down by month. So it has May, and it says July, September, and it's nothing until September.
There's only two games listed there.
Yeah. And it's the two games that were the 8 this week.
Yep. So somebody already moved them.
I know both systems are launching this year. I did not realize how barren this year actually is until those systems are out.
It was like the opposite though. Like everyone in the fall was saying, good thing spring is gonna be so packed because the fall is barren, and now spring is barren too.
But the thing is, and I could be like, spring always seemed barren. It just seemed like there was one or two titles people were excited for. But yeah, like I thought you were gonna say the opposite because I remember the transition from last gen. I mean, partially because there were so many cross gen titles that year you didn't up to it. There were still titles coming out. Like this year, there's like nothing.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah, I guess it's a great year to catch up on your backyard because all those games you bought during Black Friday will go somewhere.
Yeah. The first big game, I guess I'm really looking for. I mean, I will play Doom, but I guess is Resident Evil 3. That's not until April 3rd. So,
yeah, I mean, to be fair, we didn't know about. I mean, we kind of knew, but officially, we didn't know about Resident Evil 3 until December. So, like, something can pop up that fills in those gaps. I don't know what, but. You know, stuff can happen.
April does look pretty good, though, at least for me, with Resident Evil Fantasy and Gears Tactics.
I will say I am looking forward to Gears Tactics.
Yeah, it looks a lot of fun.
I don't think the game will be big. I think it's going to be like...
I feel like you and me playing it.
Well, not that there's not going to be a lot of people playing it. There just won't be a lot of content there. I think the game's going to be small.
That could be.
Yeah.
Like a 10-hour strategy game is not very... It's not... You wouldn't consider that a big release. It's just kind of there.
Right.
Who's looking forward to the Fast and Furious game?
The what? There's a Fast and Furious game?
Yeah, it got announced at
the Game Awards. I thought you watched that. We reacted to it in real time.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And it looked really stupid. I remember now.
Like, don't because they have like the cast of the movies in the game, right? But they don't look anything like them.
Some of them do, some of them don't. But I remember sitting here, like, we reacted to it live, and we're just like, is that Tyrese? And it's like, maybe.
That game looks terrible.
So, yes.
I don't know. I might play Wasteland 3. That sounds pretty good.
I still need to play Wasteland 2.
Yeah. And that's free on Game Pass. But Wasteland 3 will be free on Game Pass too, I think. So, whatever. I don't know. Whatever. Well, we'll catch up on games this year.
But, the good thing is you have plenty of time to catch up on games because... E3 is getting smaller. I mean, I guess technically it's not shrinking. It's the same size this year as it was last year. But the same Tuesday, that fateful Tuesday morning, Sony announced that they would not be at E3 this year.
Yeah.
Which is their prerogative. I don't, you know, it's whatever. I've said for ages now, I think E3 has become less relevant. Not so much because of E3 or anything. It's just so much easier to do what Nintendo does with Directs or what Sony did with the PlayStation Experience or Microsoft does. It's like you say you're going to do something,
yourself.
The whole gaming world is going to turn to you, to focus on you. You don't need to be like, oh, it's June, everybody's going to pay attention to us. Like Sony revealed the logo at PlayStation for PlayStation 5 at CES, and that was news on every site that day anyhow. So they don't need E3. My problem with this is Sony's like, we're not at E3. We'll be at 100 different shows this year to talk about stuff. And I'm like, that's cool and all, but why not announce the first one? Why not be like, oh, we're going to be at so-and-so in February?
Well, I guess the rumor is that there's some sort of event in February where they're going to fully blow out the PS5.
Yeah, and I expect that, but like, if you're going to announce that you're not at E3, I think you need to bundle that with, like, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, tell us when that announcement's going to happen, because right now we're kind of in the dark on what's going on with your system.
Yeah, and I will be honest with you, and I, you know, because I've seen part of the discussion popped up around E3, it always does with this, is that people are like, oh, you know, need this huge hype cycle. This, and I'm like, no, because hindsight being 50-50, 2020, I should say.
50-50?
Because you can't see. But, like, PlayStation and Microsoft announced their systems last year, and I'm just like, honestly speaking, there was nothing that they announced last year that needed to be announced last year that would have made a difference if they announced it this year. Like, part of it is, like, nobody's talking about next-gen games anyhow. So it's just like, you have a name and this exists. And I'm like, yeah, that could have waited until this year. And you could have done the whole Switch thing, which I loved. It's like, you announce the system, you reveal the system, and you launch the system in 6 months. Easy peasy. If you can get it down to like 3 months, better.
Yeah. Well, it'll be an interesting year, I guess.
Yeah, it's going. I mean, the one good thing about that, not the one good thing, but again, like Nintendo, like Sony, sometimes it's like it means that now, like, it could be like tomorrow, and they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna have a bailout for you on Saturday, and it's like, yeah, okay, I'm down. There's no need for like, okay, we're gonna wait 1 year for this one event, and everybody's gonna gather on. It's like, yeah, we have information. We're gonna share it right now.
Oh, well.
I think the thing that makes me most sad about this, there seems to be, like, there's new consoles coming out this year, but there seems to be so much less to be excited about. Like, there's not a big game coming up to look forward to. There's no E3 to look forward to. So there's just kind of, like, waiting until the fall when something might actually be cool happening.
Yeah.
Feels like a long time to sit around and do nothing.
Oh, and that reminds me, because I don't think we have this in the news story, because it's not really news, but it is fascinating, because I guess last week it came out that Microsoft said that they aren't doing exclusive for the Xbox in the first year. So Sony had to reiterate that they're making exclusive titles for PlayStation 5 for the fall, and I'm like, it's a really weird kind of dick measuring contest, where it's like... Yeah, I kind of expected Sony to do exclusive games for the PS5. I don't know why that's headline. And Microsoft has kind of gone away from exclusive this gen, so it makes sense that they are, again, we've said it time and time again, Microsoft is going more into being an ecosystem than it is that you need this system to play this game.
Right, which is cool, because everything I'm hearing about how they're handling is really neat, so... You know, if I get a Series X and Jeff does not, but he still gets Halo Infinite, we can all still play Halo Infinite together. Because it's not going to be split in such a way.
See, there's
go ahead.
There's a part of me that's like against that, just because I'm like, well, then you're not taking full advantage of the, you know, what, blah, blah, blah. But like, dude, how much better is it really going to get from the X? Like, Xbox One X is a powerful ass system that could pretty much, like, I don't know. I don't see how. I mean, I'm sure they're going to, like, games are gonna continue to get better.
You know what they are, like, I mean, the solid state drives in both of these new systems are gonna make loading times almost instant. Like, we're not gonna have the loading times where you're sitting there waiting for 30 seconds or a minute in Bloodborne for shit to load. Like, that shouldn't happen anymore. But yeah, like, how much better graphically do we need to get at some point? Like, it just becomes a refinement on where we're at. Like,
I always say that, and then I go back and play a game from 5-6 years ago, and I'm like, wow, things have gotten a little better. You know,
yeah,
I
mean, yeah.
There's,
like, you know, why did I think this looked good? It looks like ass.
There's games, I'm playing some old games now that actually still look pretty good, but, like, looking at them, I go, okay, I could see where things got better since then, you know?
Every year with Madden, like they're like, the graphics are better. And I'm like, I play the next Madden. I'm like, this doesn't look any better. And if I ever go back, the game looks like it's like from 1990.
Yeah, yeah. But
that's because that's what's in front of you right now, isn't it, Tony? It's like that you're seeing it now. It's like, no, I remember it looking like this last year.
That's but right. Then,
like, you go back to, you know, 2015's Madden, and it's like, oh god, the animations are fucked. And
what is this? How did I play this? What's wrong with me?
Well, I think there's two. There's incremental changes, and I do think, like, even if you're a game from the start of this generation to the end of the generation, there's a huge gap in quality there. But I think for a lot of people, we're beyond the point of it's good enough. I think we've hit that point several generations ago. Again, like, we came out with, I think, the top 20 best-selling games of the decade or something like that. And it's GTA 5, which is a 360 title. It's seven Call of Duty titles, because we have no discerning taste whatsoever in this country. it's Minecraft. Mm-hmm. It's Mario Kart 8. It's stuff like that. And you know, it's not just... But those games aren't, like I would say, state-of-the-art titles as far as like pushing graphics and pushing their respective consoles. But they're good enough for most people. They're good enough for the majority.
Yeah. Damn it. What's wrong
everything,
with
everything, like I said, like, is with the caveat that I plan on probably getting the new Xbox. Like,
see, I mean, really,
I might not get it like week one. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
I'll be there day one.
I might wait a couple weeks.
You're not gonna wait. Don't even tell yourself.
I'm not gonna like pre-order.
Jeff will be the one that he waits, and then the day comes. And then he's like, I want it. Like, where do you have a Series X on it?
I can wait a month or two. Like, if I could buy Halo and play it, like, and you know, no big deal. It's cool. Like, but I will get that. I'm pretty much like married to Xbox at this point in terms of like that's gonna be my main. I don't care what Sony does next time. Like, Xbox is my main now. Like, I have the most games on it. Like, I have hundreds of games on it. I have Game Pass. Like, it's just, I get the, you know, I tend to get the gold games every month. I don't always, if I look at it, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to waste my time, but I don't know. It just feels like I'm like invested into Xbox now. And so like, I'm sticking with it, and I will get the new one. Like, I like having the new systems, you know. Even if this one seems slightly unnecessary, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, at some point it will be necessary, right? Because, like,
I hope.
I just wonder, even like, you know, Assassin's Creed's going to come out. It's going to be one of those cross-gen titles this year. And I do wonder if it's going to be like, hey, it's playable on the Xbox One and PS4, but you know, if you get it on the Series X or PS5, like, it just plays so much better.
Which game?
The new Assassin's Creed. Like, they've announced it's going to be cross side, I guess.
Assassin's Creed Scandinavia or something.
Or okay. Ragnarok, I guess, is what the rumor is on it. But yeah, it's going to be for both systems. But kind of like what they did with, was it Assassin's Creed 4?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be a mix. But I bet the one on the Series X and PS5 plays better. It'll be the same game. It's just, it'll look a little bit better. It'll play a little bit smoother. And that's where we're at now, right? It's, everything's going to look a little bit better. It's going to play a little bit smoother. It's going to continue to grow with the TVs, but you know, HD television isn't getting more HD. Like,
it's to the point where, as I understand it, anything beyond 4K, it's like you need a super big screen to appreciate the difference. Like, 8K, I think you need some like crazy massive, like 70 plus inch screen for you to even like really tell the difference between 4K and 8K. And me, I'm that like idiot that's just like, I can't tell the difference between, like, if I watch a 1080p Blu-ray movie and a 4K movie, I don't always notice the difference. I'm just like, yeah.
Well, to be fair, some of that can also just be done with the cut. Some of them just are up res. It's one of those things, kind of to Tony's point. I remember when I first got Blu-rays, I'm like, oh, this isn't much better than like, the DVD. But if you actually try to watch a DVD version of a movie you have in HD,
I gotta be honest, I can watch the DVD just fine.
I can still watch a DVD, but you can't. I'm not gonna sit here and say there's no difference in quality when I'm looking at the screen. And as somebody who's transitioned and show you to 4K content as well, you can sometimes you buy 4K movies and you can just tell it's just a resolution. It's not a big deal. It's whatever. And then there's times you can tell, like, okay, this is so much crisper and sharper. Like one of the prime examples, and I think I tweeted about this when I was watching it. I bought the Batman set in 4K, and it took me a while to readjust because, like, apparently they went back and they color coded it correctly to the original print. But I was so accustomed to like the darker versions that had been on the DVD and Blu-ray.
That was just really VHS.
Yes. And TV. So it was really foreign to me. So I had to go in and mess with it. But like once you get it, it's like, oh, you can really tell how sharp and clean the image is compared to that. But to your point, you also need a certain size TV, you know, distance and stuff like that. I mean, the big thing for gaming, it won't be resolution. Because again, most people don't care about that. It's going to be, I think, HDR, that stuff that really kind of brings the lighting and the color pop on screen. But configuring it, I think that's going to be the big hurdle because that content is stuff that isn't really catered on the TV side. It's really done on the hardware and software side.
So, since there's no new games to play, I'm just going to continue to speculate about hardware until Sony finally announces what their shit is.
Well, I'm curious about both of them because, like, we know more about Microsoft right now, but there's really not many games. I mean, really, that's like I said before, that's the big thing right now for me is that like, both systems were announced last year, and there's not a lot of people talking about content or even teasing. Like, there are certain games people saw, like, oh, yeah, that's a new gen title, but there isn't a lot where it's like, even if it's like a new gen title, that's not a lot that's like this year. In the right. Pipeline.
The only like we know Halo's supposed to be this year, so that'll probably be around a bunch of the Series X. And I guess the rumor is that a Horizon Zero Dawn sequel may be the launch title for the PS5, which that would get my attention.
I'm all for that. That game needs a sequel.
Absolutely. Do you guys think there will be any big launch title for Xbox outside of Halo and like maybe Forza? Like, do you think there's something else they're cooking up that's going to be?
I think that
in the first 3 months, like that's going to be big. I want another RPG from them. Like, I know they just got Obsidian.
Think they'll do an RPG. I mean, honestly speaking, if you have Halo at launch, you don't really need much else.
They need an RPG.
I mean, outside of Final Fantasy, what RPG really sells well? I mean,
I guess
you talk about West. I think I should talk about Western RPGs.
Well, I mean, that's what they're going to be doing. Like, yeah,
no, okay.
We're not going to get a Skyrim type game. I could see a Fable that's been rumored
I could see it, but I don't see it at launch. At launch, I think they focus on their core: Halo, Call of Duty, Madden, FIFA.
Yep, definitely.
Probably 4 to 8.
Yeah, that. You'll probably have like one or two smaller titles.
Maybe that Hellblade game.
They'll resurrect something from Rare. Maybe you'll get like a Perfect Dark or a
Conquer.
Yeah, I said something.
You
important.
Can tell I'm half drunk when I start talking Conquer.
But yes, and then I can also kind of see maybe some ports, like maybe a Kingdom version of Crackdown 3. I think, you know, Cuphead will probably be there in their launch. Cuphead 2, I would imagine, is probably going to be an early, like, 6 months title.
It's going to be backwards compatible and shit, right? So, like, why not just buy it off the store and it plays? You know what I mean? Like,
but it can, but it can also be like, oh, it's like 4K. It has additional content. It's so much better now,
yeah.
Right. That's how they're going to sell it is it's so much better now. Like you could play it on that old thing you had, but it's so much better over here. It's not.
I have a fun story for when we get into what we've been playing. It kind of relates to this anyways.
All right.
But yeah, so yeah, it will be an interesting year because currently there's no games to play, so we're just going to talk about everything.
And according to that Wikipedia page, there are no games from May 29th until September 4th. And then there's only three games from September 4th to the end of the year. So, yeah, games are over. I don't know if y'all.
I feel like there's plenty I'm really looking forward to, but it's all within a 1 month period starting in March. And it's like until March, I have not a single game I'm looking forward to in January, February.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, that's kind of.
There's nothing in February.
Yeah, it is. I mean, even January is pretty light this year.
Really, like last couple years has been like I think Resident Evil
came out in January.
Yeah, that was like one of the best
two
games.
Two and seven.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's like. I want to say there was like a Mass Effect in there that did that. Like January has been a spot for like kind of 5 years now, you know?
Yep. The game I'm most excited for in January is a remake of like, what is it? How old is Warcraft 3 now? Like 20 years old?
Oh God.
25 years old.
That's right. That is coming up.
But yeah, 17 years old. Yeah. The remaster of that comes out at the end of, that's the only thing in January.
But like, it was just funny because like earlier today on Twitter, we were talking and Tony's like all, you know, in despair about like about Cyberpunk and there's no games coming out. Dude, like Ori is going to be for free. You're not going to play Ori?
No.
I don't think he played the first one.
What do you mean no? Well, it's whatever.
No, it's in the opposite of yes, Jeff.
But why not try it out? It's free. And it's probably a smaller download.
I probably will play it now because I'll have literally nothing else to do.
Exactly. Oh,
that Dark Crystal Tactics game is in February.
That game's going to be terrible.
You know what I was going to get? I was going to get Crystal Chronicles and that got delayed.
Oh yeah, that was a thing, isn't it?
Yes, remember? It was like, I'm coming to the Switch in January and then like, sorry, it's coming in the, like, I think summer now.
I don't know. Like, it's not on this list.
Has anyone played that game? Because when it came out in the GameCube, I desperately wanted to play it, but it was like never going to happen because you needed the 4 Game Boy Advances. Like, that just wasn't going to really happen. So I was like, all right, it's not.
Yeah, I've never played it.
I want to play it. It looks cool. Like, it looks like a cool GameCube game.
So, you have Ori in March, Jeff. What else?
We have also in March Doom Eternal. Fucking Doom.
I will play that. That's not a Tony game.
No.
You get to shoot things in the head. What are you talking about here?
Sorry. I just don't like that style of shooter. It's not my thing.
Are you just saying Tony's a violent person?
I am pretty violent, but, you know.
I mean, everyone likes to shoot. Like, and kill things, like, and that's like the most straightforward, straight and kill things the game ever. Like, I don't know, I really love that series. Anyways, same day, Animal Crossing, you're not gonna get that.
I don't care about Animal Crossing at all, no.
What? I just feel like you're like keeping your kids like in the dark about the most amazing things.
No, I get these games for my kids, I do, I just don't play them myself.
But you're not gonna go visit their village and live in their village and be a nice, you know, neighbor. And
God, no.
I swear, like,
such a grump.
Whenever people explain Animal Crossing to me, I'm just like, I don't know how this sounds fun on paper, but it works for people.
You don't like it either?
No.
Am I the only one here? Because I don't think Chris is big into it.
Here's the thing. I don't think it's a good game, but once you start playing it,
yeah,
it is weirdly addictive. Yeah. It's like, all right, I got to go get my shells, and I got to go pick my fruit, and I got to pick the weeds. It's like, and you get into this weird thing where you're doing it every day. And finally, I had to take the damn thing out of my 3DS and like, stop. This isn't fun. It's work. Like, I have to
go to my game
every day. Exactly.
Stop.
It's like some weird crack.
Because if you stop,
addicted.
If you stop, they punish you by screaming at you. It's such
And your town goes to shit.
Your town goes to shit. And every time you like talk to someone, they're like, oh, nice of you to show up. Like, haven't seen you in a while, you know?
And that's
been 36 months since we last talked.
And that's if they stick around. They can move out in that time.
Yeah, exactly. You get a letter from fucking years ago saying that they
left. You're an asshole.
It's such mental torture because it's a second job. If you don't do it well, your friends are like, you're an idiot. I'm moving on and I'm never coming back. And then the entire purpose of the game is to pay off your student loans. It's just way too much pressure for me. I have this in my real life already, so
right. I don't need to do that.
It's nowhere near the pressure though of like The Sims. Like, it's there's not like this like in Sims. You're like always in this kind of panic about like managing stuff.
Okay, and then, you're
like,
micromanaging
But you can also just kind of like let them use and make them do whatever they want to do. Animal Crossing, you always have to be directly involved. Like, you're the one who has to. You have to dig up fossils. You're the one who has to plant fruit.
You don't have to do anything. Like, you could just...
You could just be the asshole mayor. Just like, yeah, I'm here. I ain't picking nothing. I ain't paying off anything.
I have very fond memories of playing the first game for the first time on GameCube back in college. I was like a sophomore in college. And just getting, like, so sucked up into the original game and, like... To the point where my friends were like, you need to take your fucking GameCube and move it to your room, because I was like taking up the TV too much. And if there was one game I could go back and like erase from my memory and play again for the first time, it would be Animal Crossing, because like I just remember playing that for the first time, like not knowing what the limits of it were and just being like, wait, so on Halloween, it's Halloween in the game? Like, just like every little thing about it like blew my mind. I was like, oh, I could send a message to one of the other players and they get it in the mail, like the mailman delivers it, like what the fuck. Like so like every day for like a month at least playing it was just like, I can't believe, like, and I didn't know, like eventually you start to see the seams in it and everything, you know, like, you know, like, all right, I could go basically do these four activities every day, but like at first it was just like, holy shit, you know. I don't think that like that series is ever gonna reclaim that, but fuck, I still love playing it every time. Sorry, little mini.
Jeff has something to look forward to.
After
that like month period, no, not really, but
yeah, sure, and I think a lot of it will be done with DLC. You're already kind of seeing that stuff with, you know, Pokemon has a big DLC coming in. June, he's mentioned as DLC coming. I imagine, you know, we'll get DLC for.
Dude, RE3 drops the week after fucking.
Yeah, and it's like a very concentrated, like 4 weeks, mid March to mid April.
Yep.
And then that's kind of it for the first half of the year.
It's so weird. And that's like when I hear people say. Like, I had our friend Aaron today was like, oh, Cyberpunk moved because they're scared of Final Fantasy. I'm like, dude, they don't have any fucking clue. They don't have any clue what they're doing with these release dates to fucking begin with. These games sell whenever the fuck they come out. Both of those games would sell great. Like, they moved it because it's a fucking huge RPG and they need time. That's the only thing I can figure, you know?
Yeah, there's no conspiracy. It's just not finished. That's all.
And
that's,
they certainly exactly were not scared of the Final Fantasy VII remake.
That exactly. Like,
I get it. It's only available on one platform. Like, Cyberpunk's available on everything.
Very good point. I didn't feel like arguing with him further because I wouldn't convince him either way, but I'm right on this. Like, Cyberpunk would be just fucking fine if it came out in April.
I will also say, this is a very fan-driven perspective, because I assume there are very few companies being like, oh man, this game's scary. Like, it's not like they're afraid of, like, the only game you really, really, truly try to avoid is Call of Duty. Because everybody knows that sucks the oxygen out of the room.
But and even then, companies like EA dropped Titanfall a week after it, like, or a week before it, like they're fucking stupid.
Dude, these companies have no sense of that shit. And any sense they do, like, again, I don't think it matters. I think you could drop Red Dead Redemption 2 in second week of June, and it would sell just as much as it coming out in October. Like, it doesn't fucking matter what time it
is. Well, I mean, a lot of it really boils down more less to do with the calendar, more to do with their fiscal year. Because the reason a lot of games come out in this like January to March timeline was people were like, we put it there if we need to kind of like make our fiscal year
quarterly
go.
The end of year. Like, so
that
so,
more than anything probably dictates that shit. You know?
Yeah. You dump it out in, at the end of March because you need to get the costs off your book. So you can be like, all my development costs are here and I can offset that with the actual profits we've made. And then anything we make on it, you know, in April or May, that goes to boost our profit margin for the next fiscal.
Yeah. And I think the people that make these decisions, they're thinking about that shit. And a lot of them probably don't have any sense of even, oh my god, we're dropping near a remake of Resident Evil or fucking Final Fantasy or some shit. Like, it just...
Well, yeah, because... Like,
they're not even thinking of that. Like
you have, they, like they, I assume they all...
The same shit on the same day. Like, three big games come out on the same day or within a month, like we just said. Like, it's just...
Yeah, and they all come out. They all come out at the end of March because it's the end of everybody's fiscal year.
Yeah,
and it's like,
that's
one,
it.
Four. I was going to say, I feel like that's one of the reasons Final Fantasy was delayed, because it's certainly delayed outside of the fiscal year quarter.
Yep.
So it's like, oh, okay, we probably did really well for the holidays. We could push this back to the first week of April and then kind of make it so like next quarter also looks pretty good for us. Because you want that consistency where it's like, we don't want to have like a really strong like this quarter and then next quarter there's nothing in that window.
I do think in the case of Cyberpunk, just based on like the type of game it is, I'm guessing it needs more time.
Oh yeah, and I mean part of it is like we were saying before, it's like this is the week really that you came back from vacation. Like, you know, people who were off in December for holidays and stuff like that. You come back, you kind of get up to speed, and then you really sit down and evaluate like, are we going to be able to hit this deadline? And that's when like you're being realistic, and it's like no, and that's when you push it back. How you determine 6 months, I don't know, but.
It was probably just like, hey, we could push it, you know, we push it into the end of August into September or something, and that's still really good. That's a great time frame. Right now there's no competition there.
Yeah.
And again, we get it out before the quarter end as well.
So go ahead.
I was gonna say then you can re-release it like 2 months later for the system launches.
So we are all in agreement, though, like all of us here, that it's not delayed because of
Final Fantasy. It is not delayed because of Final Fantasy.
So. And all right, so I'm going to make Altoid Yoda on Twitter, guys, listen to this, and I'm this has been debunking Altoid Yoda's theory, brought to you by all of us.
I mean, CD Projekt isn't, they're not in competition with Final Fantasy VII. Like, they have a game that's hitting three different platforms, PC, PS4, and Xbox. Stadia is listed here on this Wikipedia article.
That's not a platform.
It's just PC. but yeah, it's like you're not saying, you're going to tell me a multi-platform game is scared of a single platform game? It doesn't make any sense.
And... I get like the concept of, okay, there's gonna be people that have to make a choice with their dollars. Like, I buy one game a month or whatever. I buy two games a year, right? And so I have to choose now between these two. One, they're only a couple weeks away to begin with, so like chill out on that. But two, I think if I have to make that choice, I mean, I guess this is just me, but I'm guessing even if I love Final Fantasy VII, I've played that before. and Cyberpunk looks cool as fuck. Like, I go towards like if you make me choose and
try the new thing first and come back to Final Fantasy VII.
For me, yeah, like definitely, yeah.
Well, I could be wrong. I could be very wrong. I don't think there's a huge overlap between the audience that was looking forward to Cyberpunk and the audience that was looking forward to Final Fantasy. As far as like this is the game I'm getting, I don't think there was competition in that regard. Like you said, it's more competition for your dollars. Like I got $100 a month or whatever the video games or something like that. That's possible. And you know, April is also tax return season. That's where a lot of games also come out in that area because people get their refunds and it's like they'll splurge on something. So it's like we'll have a bunch of games ready for you to go. But yeah, it's not about one game being afraid of the other game or something like that. Right. Yes, I mean. It's us ascribing something to make logical sense of it.
Is yeah, that, and I think that they're like, I don't think that's even a huge consideration.
And it's, I mean, that's as Earl said earlier, that's not how companies do things. Yeah. But also, like, yes, our dumb fan brains are like, oh, well, Final Fantasy just moved there. Yeah. And then Cyberpunk announced 2 days later, like they didn't have their press release ready.
And that's the other thing. I mean, we all work for companies, and I'm sure you can all agree with this. No decision in the company gets made in 2 days.
No.
At any level. Like, even to put out that press release, it probably went to like 100 different people to sign off on it. That's not getting done in 2 days.
Yep. Yeah, it doesn't happen. Like, all right. Well, I think that's it for news.
Well, we did not talk about the other disappointing news this morning, which isn't as important to you folks. but the Smash Brothers DLC Pack 1 announced the final character this morning. And if you ever wanted to visualize what Interfeited Moon sounds like, you had to have been on Twitter at 9 a.m. this morning when everybody realized that the DLC character, somebody else on Fire Emblem. And it was just like, oh.
Yeah, I caught a little of that.
That's it, huh? Like,
there's some salty fans out there, though. I saw some memes and stuff going around about that.
I have no qualms of Fire Emblem. I'm not a huge enough Smash Brothers fan to get up in arms, but I am of the camp that I do think the franchise is overrepresented. And I think it's overrepresented in a boring manner. We look at Mario, where Mario, Luigi, Peach, Bowser, Yoshi are all different characters. Wario. Where Fire Emblem,
they're almost the same.
There are eight characters. They almost all, like, I think of the eight, six of them are sword users. So it's like this very boring archetype that people are tired of. But really, I think the biggest problem with this announcing Fire Emblem as the final DLC character in this pack was the fact that you kind of set this precedent with like Banjo-Kazoo, Hero from Dragon Quest VIII, Joker from Persona, Terry from King of Fighters. It's like, oh, these are franchises that were never represented before. These are franchises we're going out there for. And it's like, to have the final one be like Fire Emblem, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and not only is it a franchise that's already represented so many times, it's like you could have picked something else from the Nintendo library if you were in house.
Yeah, you could have even picked something from the Nintendo library recently. when the Smash Brothers Ultimate was originally announced, they said they couldn't get Rex in from the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 because the game was too new and they didn't have time to work on his character. Okay, fine. But you're telling me that a game that came out like 6 months ago, you get a character in there. And it's from a franchise that people are already kind of tired of. And it's not like it's a new thing where people are like, oh, not another. It's like, it's been a complaint with Fire Emblem since Ultimate, or even before with the 4 Wii U, 4 3DS one, because, again, great, fun franchise, interesting franchise. It does it not need eight characters in this game.
Right. And it's also like, I gotta say, I know people love Fire Emblem. Like, it's pretty niche if I don't fucking play it. Like, I play, like, literally every Nintendo series. I know it sells well and everything. I'm just saying.
I mean, it sells well now, which is fine. But yeah, to your point,
it's a specific taste. Like, it's not going to be for everyone. Like,
I could be mistaken. I'm almost certain that Fire Emblem now has more representation than Zelda, which is a much bigger franchise
and way more than Chibi Robo, which is obviously like one of their best franchises. Like,
yes, Chibi Robo.
But give me that. Give me Chibi Robo. I know it's a duplicate of fucking Rob the Robot, but it wouldn't
be. And that's the thing. It's like there's so many other things they could have deep dived. And again, you even go back further to like the Wii U one, where you got Ryu, you got a Bayonetta, you got Ken from Street Fighter. It's like, yes, give us those characters, the ones that are outside the box. Not like here's Fire Emblem again. So yeah, it was, and then he did that thing he does where it's a 35-minute video. I'm like, okay, another Fire Emblem video. I'm going to work today, and I just turned it off. And so yeah, it was disappointing because, again, I think it's a case of managing expectations. If it was the first character in this set, I think it would have changed the dynamics a bit, but at least it wouldn't have been like this giant deflation after all of this huge. These interesting characters they picked.
Yeah. After four pretty diverse and like interesting characters to come back with, hey, here's another entry from Fire.
You'd expect the finale to be like the best one.
Yeah. It's just like a wet fart.
And I get it from a certain manner of speaking in that, like, oh, it's something from like a recent Nintendo game. Aren't you excited for that? And it's like, yeah, it would be if it was like, I don't know, somebody from Astro Chain that came out like a month later, brand new IP from Nintendo.
Or like Luigi, right?
Yeah.
Like something, something not Fire Emblem related.
Yeah, and again, I think what's going to happen, I don't think it's going to, I think it turns people on Fire Emblem more than it should. Because, like, what was also kind of, like, glossed over in this is, like, after this Direct, Nintendo announced new DLC for Three Houses, and it's like, I get the synergy they were going for, but I'm like, this is one of the cases where you read the room and be like, let's ixnay this today because nobody's on the Fire Emblem kick right now.
Yeah, let's come back next week with some Fire Emblem news.
They're like overkill, like Pikmin or something for me. Like, where's my love? I've been dedicated my whole life.
Well, I mean, they already did Pikmin. It's like no other character in Pikmin to do.
No, I'm just saying, like they've been like kind of binging on Fire Emblem in general, not just in Smash Brothers. You know what I mean? Like, they've gotten lots of sequels to that lately and shit. Go crazy with something I love for a little while.
I mean, because it sells well, but
get people to buy Pikmin, Jeff.
I've been trying to yell at Tony for fucking years, and you won't listen, even though it's a strategy game. Best strategy game of the decade.
I don't know if it's a strategy game. I mean, I guess
it is, right?
In a way.
Okay, and just real quick, since I have this open, like I mentioned before, that MPD released the top 20 best-selling games of the decade. So from 2010 to 2019.
Yeah.
And just to show how much diverse taste this country has, the number one best-selling game, which isn't that difficult to figure out because it's the best-selling game of all time, I believe, at this point, is GTA 5.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Call of Duty Black Ops. Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, Call of Duty Black Ops 3, Call of Duty Ghosts, Red Dead Redemption 2, Call of Duty World War 2, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Minecraft, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2019, Elder Scrolls, well, Skyrim, Mario Kart 8, Call of Duty Infinity Warfare, Battlefield 1, Battlefield 4, Destiny, A Breath of the Wild, and Battlefront.
Huh.
So we really love our shooters.
We do. We love to shoot things.
It's I will say
Percy, just like Jeff said.
I will say Percy speaking, it is kind of depressing because it's compared to the aughts. There's a bit more diversity there. We had a lot more, I guess, casual games. Guitar Hero, Rock Band, We Play, We Fit. So yeah, there was a bit more diversity. Like literally half of this is just Call of Duty games.
Yeah.
And I assume it's only half because only 10 can come out in a decade.
Which is funny because this has been, I don't know, at least for like the last six or seven years, mostly this generation, Call of Duty's in a tailspin. It's over, guys. This is the year. Call of Duty's dead. And every year it outsells everything.
As I say, I mean, both of those can be true, though. Because like, you look at this list, and it goes Black Ops 2, Black Ops 3, Black Ops 4, which in theory means that each one's selling less than the
in corporate think, you know, making $2 billion is not as great as you know what I mean? Like, it's
right, yeah, it's not. Like,
it has
like,
to be a bigger profit.
It is not as good, but also, like, nothing has overtaken it, so...
Yeah. I know. It's like, you should be fucking happy with that, and then... I'm not, but
like, yeah. Like from the corporate side, like yes, like shit, we're not growing, and that's a problem. But also, nobody else is overtaking.
Growing, yeah,
us, we're still number one. But from a fan perspective, from like the you know, the game community perspective, to be going like, this is it, Final Fantasy, it's done this year. Like, well, yeah, the numbers are indicating that it's on its way down, but nothing is coming, nothing is stepping into that spot to overtake it, so it's not dead, it's still the biggest game going.
It does kind of surprise me though, like Call of Duty hasn't dropped off more than it has. Like, dude, it feels like such an old, like Call of Duty, like playing Call of Duty online, that's like from 2008, dude, and like people are still like, more than anything else, like not anything else, like there's bigger things now probably, but you know what I mean, it's still up there. It's like one of the, like you said, like it's one of the top selling games every year.
It's
like,
it's not still up there, it is up there, it is still the king of the mountain.
Well, don't you think there might be more people playing though, like Fortnite and shit like that?
Oh yeah,
like,
and I was gonna make that caveat that stuff yeah. like Fortnite and Apex is on this list because this is based on
revenue. Free. Yeah,
they're free to play titles, so that wouldn't be tracked.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, as far as like the box retail product, Call of Duty still remains king. The only game that really competes with it is GTA 5 and GTA. And it's hard to say how that would do if it was an annual release or even consistent.
I mean, I like it. This is the only thing I could say. Like, people keep being like, why would they make a GTA 6? GTA 5 sells amazing every year. I'm like, I've bought GTA 5 on everything, so I can't buy it again. So I need another one to buy. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be other people like me that have fucking bought GTA 5. I don't know, like... Make a new one, it will sell great too. Please. I know they probably are. Whatever.
Yeah, I assume they will, but I mean, it's to your point, you know, like...
You're saying, like, who are these people? Who are buying this stuff?
You are. You just
said
you bought it this year.
Like, I bought it on everything. All right, it came out for Xbox Series X. Are you buying it?
No.
What if it's launched and there's no other titles to buy? Are you buying it then?
No, because I literally have not even downloaded it from Game Pass yet. I would just do that. Play that one. I'm sure it's fine. And how much better are you going to make a 360 game look?
And I forget, is 5 actually good? Because I stopped playing 4 because they took it way too serious.
It's better than 4.
But is it as good as like 3, Vice City, and San Andreas?
No. Did you play Ballad of Gay Tony?
No.
Oh.
But it's more in that tone.
Yeah, that's a better tone for GTA. Yeah.
It plays better than 4, that's for sure.
It's a better story
than 4.
I think it's better than 4.
It's better. It's clearly better.
It's better than 4. But like, it's also like those games are such like a fucking project, like a task. Like, you gotta go, like, it's not an easy game to just like jump into. There's like, you know, I mean, once you're like, it just takes a while to get to where it's just open world and you can just have fun. I don't know.
Okay, the one thing I did want to point out as well with this list, both of these lists is actually, is I forget sometimes how massive Mario Kart is, because Mario Kart is like one
it's two
games on this list for the decade that is exclusive to a platform. I guess it's on the Wii U as well, but as far as like being in a single ecosystem, like GTA 5 is on like what, 5 different systems. Call of Duty's on everything, but Mario Kart is just Wii U and Switch, and it's insane to think about the fact that like you think of all, because Mario Kart is like one of those titles that it sells well at release, but it's never a monster. It's never like, oh, it's out the gate, it's selling 10 million copies. But yeah, I mean, like, I was going to name franchises, but there'd be any other excuse if you can think of Halo, Uncharted, Last of Us, Mario, Zelda. It sells better than, and it's, like, insane to think about. Like, it's somehow bigger than its core franchise.
It has a real long tail on its sales. Like, you know, I quit GameStop in 2013, and, like, I want to say up until, like, 2011 or so, like, you sold multiple copies of Mario Kart for the Wii every day. Like, the game has been out for years, and there's still people coming in every day going, do you have Mario Kart? Like, it was crazy. Like, it blew my mind. But knowing that, like, it never surprises me to hear it at the top of the list. Like, that's just, it's like a game that anyone that buys a Nintendo system gets even more than a core Mario game.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It sells better than any Mario game.
Yeah.
It's their best-selling game.
Yeah, it's their best-selling franchise.
Like, I think it's easier to play for really little kids too than Mario. Like,
for anybody, like, everybody understands the concept of
go forward. Racing.
Yeah,
yeah,
and you know, you put them in the position of your over the shoulder behind the cart, and they understand it. Like, mm-hmm. anybody that. So it's easy even for people that don't play games, like my wife. She can sit down and play Mario Kart. She might not be good at it, but she understands what's happening, and goofy shit happens on screen, and it's fun.
Okay, so just as a fun fact, because I have this, I wanted to take this up, because I knew it made the list. Mario Kart 8, so better than GTA 5 in 2019. But the fact that both of those games, which I think Mario Kart 8 came out in 2017 and GTA, God knows when that came out, are the number 10 and 11 best selling game of the year is bananas to me.
Yeah.
And just to kind of, just to go through, okay. Again, since I have this up, I know the best selling games of 2019, surprising everybody, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, NBA 2K20, Madden, Borderlands 3, Mortal Kombat 11, Jedi Fallen Order, Smash Bros. Ultimate, Kingdom Hearts 3, The Division 2, Mario Kart 8, GTA 5, Red Dead Redemption 2, Minecraft, FIFA 20, this one hurts, Anthem.
Oh, wow.
Some of your money's there.
Yeah, my too whole much 20 of it. My whole 20 bucks is in there somewhere. Pokemon Sword, Resident Evil 2, Luigi's Mansion 3, Days Gone, and New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe.
Huh. It's an interesting list.
And what number was like the last one, Mario?
20.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm really hurt by Anthem. Like, there's a lot of people
Anthem's
out there
too
who are
high on that list.
Anthem should not be on this list. Anthem should be in like negative numbers somehow. Like, so many people just returned it that the sales collapse and it no longer gets counted.
I'm not guilty.
Yes, I am guilty, Jeff. You can say I'm guilty. I have sinned.
It could be free to play now, and I was still. It
well, I mean, it's not free to play, but if you have EA access, you can play it.
Also,
it's not worth it there either, Jeff.
You could probably find it for $5 somewhere.
Yeah.
Sad.
It's probably in a bucket somewhere.
Yeah.
Or a Five Below.
You know what? I'm going to go to Five Field and see if they have any copies of Anthem.
I like that
song. And then just buy them and burn them so nobody else has to suffer.
I'll videotape that if you do it. All right. That's it for news, I guess, right? That's
already?
Yes,
we Jeff, started already. With news, Jeff. We started there.
Yeah, we started with the news. All right, so I want to know what Indivisible Girl.
For liberty and justice for all.
Damn it, I was about to say that.
But Indivisible is a indie RPG from, I forget the name of that company that does a lot of those like indie retail releases. Actually, I have the box somewhere nearby. Let's see. It is by 505 Games.
Okay.
And it is a, I mean, it's an RPG. It's a very, it's a different type of RPG system, or at least one I'm not accustomed to. So essentially what happens is your party has a max of four people, and mm-hmm. each character is mapped to a face button based on their position on your squad, so you can rearrange them. I'm playing on the PlayStation 4, so like one character's triangle, one person's X, one person's circle, one person's square. And so essentially how it starts is when you start the game, you have like one move, you have like one button press you can do. So when you press that, the corresponding button for that team member, they can attack, or they can heal, or if they have like magic or whatever. So like you have the default is just pressing the button. Then you can press up and you can press down. And that will do a different attack. So you have three attacks total for each character. And then enemies attack, and it's the same kind of system. So like if they're going to attack the person with circle, you have to press circle in time to kind of either dodge or shield yourself to kind of take away damage. And that is the core kind of combat system. As you go further in the game, you unlock more abilities, not more abilities, but more chances to go in a turn. So like right now, each of my characters can attack three times roughly in a go, and goes aren't, it's kind of like an active time battle system. So like you can press XX and wait, and then like those will recharge, and then you can do XX again and X a third time if you wanted to. You could do combos with certain characters or certain characters, like, you know, with to break the defense of certain enemies, for example, you have to hit them with a high low attack. So like, you can go up with somebody, hit them with a high attack, and then go with somebody else and hit them with a low attack. But you have to time it properly because each character has slightly different variations on their attacks and their speed. You can, like, one of the characters, the main character, has the ability to do a combo. So you could do a triangle, 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 and they will go up there and just kind of hit them three times in a row. And if if you keep it going, you build a higher and higher combo for all your teammates, and that does more damage and stuff like that. So it's an interesting system. It does take a bit to get used to, because again, I'm just accustomed to like RPGs just kind of pressing a button to go through the menu. So sometimes I'm just like tapping on X when it's like, oh crap, I'm supposed to be defending the guy on circle and stuff like that.
It's interesting, at least. Something different than your standard RPG.
Yeah, it's a very quirky RPG, because like right now your party travels in your main character's head. So when you enter battle, you see them like pop out of their head, and you can go inside your mind palace. I think that's what it's called. I forget what it's called. But yes, and then you can talk to them in your head. And the first person who goes in your head is actually the man who kills your father, and you're holding him in your head as a prisoner. Even though you don't, as far as I can tell, you don't know how you're doing it. It's just happening. And then for some odd reason, even though he's a prisoner in your head, he comes out to battle with you because reasons.
Sure. Got it.
Hey man, JRPGs, that's how they go.
Yeah, and then it has certain, you know, it has certain overworld act. So it's also kind of it's a 2D RPG. So you work on a 2D plane, and the navigation is very similar to like a 2D platformer. So you have, you know, like you navigate certain spaces. You can't double jump, but you can like your character has an axe. You can use that to kind of scale walls by like digging your axe into the wall and then jumping off of that. You can do wall jumps. And stuff like that. So the jumping itself is actually not super great, but so far it hasn't demanded too much of me. It's not like I'm jumping over like bottomless pits or anything like that. Yeah, I mean that's about it. It's an interesting game.
Nice. I had not heard of that before. It's an interesting art style.
Yeah, it looks nice. I mean, it looks nice, but it also looks weird. It's one of the ones where. Like sometimes you need to fully embrace your art style or not. They kind of sometimes you can get stickers on the background because the backgrounds aren't as detailed in that style as the characters are.
Okay. Yeah, I got a little bit of, I got a Color Forms vibe from it. Like where it was kind of like you were placing the more detailed models on stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see here. All right, Jeff. we'll go through some of my stuff that you know,
you think is fake.
That are these games fake aren't games. Real.
Wasn't there one called like Dick Quiver or some
yes,
shit?
Yes, there's a game called The Chronicles of Quiver Dick.
That better be real.
Sounds made up.
So have you ever heard of a thing called RPG Maker?
Yes.
All right. So there's
playing this RPG Maker games. Are you fucking serious?
Well,
there's new games coming out. My God.
Yeah. No. For some reason, I have this in my Steam library. It's like I don't know what the hell is this. It's like a comedic RPG. Oh, it's pretty short. Like looks like everybody that's played it got 2 hours. So I sit down to play it. And it thinks it's funny. It's a lot of like, I mean, the game is called
Dick Chronicles jokes.
Of Quiver Joke. Yeah, it's Quiver Dick. Yes, there's lots of dick jokes. It's I didn't find it very amusing at all. But it's well made for like the, you know, the overworld and the combat is well made for what it is. So much dialogue that if the dialogue isn't there, this game's over in 10 minutes. And then I kind of looked into it a little more and, I guess the guy that made this team, he used to be a YouTuber, I guess at some point. So he had a pretty large following. He was called Crankage Games or something like that.
Quivering.
Evidently there was a big, something went up.
Cranking my quiver. Yeah. Quivering.
Well, yeah. Something went up with him over the summer. I don't know. He like his company has now disappeared from the face of existence. Like, it turns out he's like a pretty shitty dude. So, but yeah, that's a real game. That is, it has a Steam page and everything. So you can check that out. I don't.
Did it make your dick quiver? Did that happen?
It did not. Not at all. Sorry, Tony.
I was hoping.
None of these made my dick quiver, but there are two games on here that I guess want to try to make your dick. I don't know. One is called Lust for Darkness. It is a walking sim type adventure game that it's selling itself on like its adult themes. Let's see. It's kind of Lovecraftian in how it. You know, it's monsters and it's a narrative take on everything. But then it just kind of like tries to overload you with like weird sex cult shit going on. It's strange. It's also a game that can be done in 2 hours and it's not very good, but it's getting a sequel called Lust from Beyond. And there is a. There's a prologue out there, and it's way more detailed this time around. But it's still in kind of the game is coming out, I guess, later this year, but Lust for, From Beyond Prologue is its own game, has its own set of something like 25 achievements in Steam. And this game, they're going all out. Like where Lust for Darkness was an M-rated game that tried to play around with like erotic Lovecraftian shit. Lust from Beyond is basically a fucking porno. it's like straight up, like they're going at it in that game thing. It's still a walking sim. It's weird. It's really weird. And I played it. So.
And you regret it. Every last moment of it.
Yeah. yeah, I do. I don't. Yeah. Don't play free games, guys. Don't do it. But also another real game, Jeff. another game I played is this thing called Dead Effect. It's a first-person shooter. Some people might know it because it is also... It originally was an iOS and Android that they ported to PC. I remember buying this for like a dollar on like a Steam sale because like... I don't know, Dead Effect, that kind of like gives me this kind of Dead Space Mass Effect vibe. It's more Doom-ish than that, but with it's, you can see that it was set up as a phone game originally.
And everybody loves Doom.
Well, except me.
I mean, like, it plays like Doom, right? Like, you run around and shoot zombies. There's not many different type of monster models, so it's just basically you're shooting a lot of zombies. But there's different weapons that you can get, and there's an upgrade system, and the game gets really hard though because it starts throwing lots and lots of enemies at you if you aren't upgrading your weapons, which you do by playing these other modes where you get money in-game currency. You can't buy anything. I'm sure when you played it on, if you played it on the phone, you could buy actual currency to upgrade. You can't do it in the PC version. It just means you're doing these like levels over and over again to get levels up, get your guns leveled up so that they have more damage and have bigger magazines, reload faster. It's fine. Like overall, like for a game that is generally on sale for $5 almost constantly, and on Steam sales drops down to a dollar, it is not a bad 5 hour, 6 hour game. But it feels like a phone. And the last one I played was a free game I got off Epic Games Store. It was one of their weekly giveaways. It's called Stories Untold. It's an adventure. It's an episodic adventure game. When I say episodic adventure, most people probably think, oh, like Walking Dead or Life is Strange. This takes a different angle where each of the episodes is a different type of adventure game, but they're all pretty stationary. The first one, you are playing an Apple IIe text adventure. Like the story is playing up, but... What was that, Jeff?
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, like you are at a desk. Like your screen is you sitting at a desk, typing on like one of these Commodore or an Apple type. The game that you're playing
is on the
It's actually a tape, like a cassette tape. So if you remember back to like all the way back in the 80s, where you would load certain programs using a cassette tape. Instead of like a disk drive or cartridge, like they actually used actual cassettes. And that's how this game is played. It's very short. And then that one ends and you go to the next one, which is you're in a lab and you're getting instructions, audio instructions, and then having to follow do an experiment with like, so you're reading through a manual trying to figure out, all right, here's the instructions say I have to turn this on and this on at the same time, and and flip this switch over here, and that'll allow me to phase one of the experiment. And then the final one is you're reading, you're listening to audio transmissions coming over a radio. So you have to turn the radio to a certain dial, to a certain frequency. And then you're listening to that transmission come through. And then you're going to a microfiche and looking up like what that transmission is, and having to then translate that and code out a program to then run on your like old computer. It's very interesting the way all three of those worked out. And then there's a fourth episode that kind of ruins everything, but they were cool, like way different than what I was expecting. You know, I hear episodic adventure game of thinking very different, and that this was something, was an interesting approach to doing that. So those are all real games though. So they're all available on that Stories Untold is actually available on. Tony, you played more, yes, Witcher 3. How's that working out for you?
So I'm probably about 35 hours in now. I feel like I'm moving way faster than I did the first time, but then again, now I kind of know where stuff is. I haven't quite caught up to where I was. Like, I think last time I made it probably about halfway through the last island, but I just got there, so...
Are you on Skellig?
Skellig, now, or... yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know there's a couple chapters afterward, and now I have the DLC, too, to play.
Oh, through. You know, you're making good time, then, because I think I finished it 60 some hours, but I didn't know where she was.
Yeah,
exploring and got lost a couple times. But yes, so you went through the big city area, right?
Yeah, yes. Novigrad.
Yeah, yeah, where you're looking for your bard friend.
Yep.
Yep. So you're through the longest part of the game.
Oh yeah,
longest chapter. So
now it's kind of like I know the third part is not. Not that lengthy, but there are so many side quests left, and I want to do all the monster hunts because I know I didn't get close to doing all of them last time. Most of them are fairly high level though. Like I just hit level 19, and almost all the monster hunts are like 20 or above. So
she still has some leveling to do.
A little bit more leveling. I was trying to avoid playing the main quest. I was trying to do the side quests, but try to do the monster hunts. It's the best way to get XP. But I also was trying to like make different decisions, and I probably have made every single same decision that I made from the first time so far. I was also trying to like romance only one of the sorceresses, and that didn't happen.
Oh.
I was like, I'm gonna stick with Yennefer. It's all gonna be great. That's who Geralt is in love with in the books and in the show, and you know it's fine. And every time, like the sorceress starts talking to me, like, eh, sure, why not?
Did you get the moment with Yennefer in the game yet? Where I guess it's like there's a revelation about the relationship you guys have.
I don't think so. I just got to Skellig. We made it through like the banquet, and we had sex on the unicorn.
Damn. That sounds like a revelation.
That sounds made up.
Did you watch the show, Tony? You watched all the show.
I did. Yeah.
Fucking Earl just made my beer come through my fucking nose.
So there's a revelation in the show that also takes place in the game. So
the thing with the genie.
Yeah, it's not exactly the same, I don't think, in the game, but there is that happens.
Yeah, I just got to, like, I was going through the stuff in her room, and there's a book where she talks about that. I was like, oh, a reference to the show and to the books. Awesome.
Yeah. So it's cool that like they're definitely taking aspects of the books and the games into consideration with the show. So they could bring more of that. That would be nice.
Yeah. Or, you know, Witcher 4. Just, you know, thinking
could
out
do
loud.
That. Well, you know that they did agree to a new deal with the author.
Yeah.
So not that they had to, but they are now back on good terms with the author. So there's maybe a chance that we get some sort of new Witcher game.
That whole story is funny. He signs away all of his rights because he doesn't think video games are going
to. He doesn't think that they're going to do anything. It becomes the biggest gateway to his which has made him way more popular than he ever was. It's a good series, though. So,
yeah, I started reading the books. They're pretty good.
Jeff.
Read them. Jeff doesn't read, though. Do you, Jeff?
Exactly, yeah. It's a very weird thing where, like, I've just kind of fallen off reading, even though I love it. So, I do read. I would read. I don't read.
Reading's overrated.
So you don't read. When you said you do read, you're actually lying about
that. I mean, like, I'm literate. I can read.
That's good to know.
Like, I enjoy the act of reading.
Oh, yeah, you do.
But I have not, I gotta be honest, I have not read a book since Mr. Mercedes, which was like...
It was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. And,
maybe more.
You know, I blame it on Twitter, to be honest, but...
Too much reading on Twitter.
Yeah.
Earl, do you read?
I don't read as much as I should.
God. I read every single day.
Yeah.
I read like a half hour at bedtime.
Reading is great.
I think I mentioned this before, because I don't get many perks, but one of the perks of my job is that I get a ton of free books. And they just kind of accumulate over time. And I'm like,
so wait, you get free books, you work for the library system, and you don't read.
Yes.
That is correct. You, Earl.
So basically,
quick aside, quick endorsement, guys. Use your library, because your library might have video games. And they got a decent selection of Blu-rays sometimes.
We do not have video games. Well, actually, we do have video games, but it's very limited.
Mine has The Witcher.
We're going to start with board games soon. And
that's pretty awesome.
We you can have,
actually check out.
Yeah, wait, we have.
Like you'd be able to check out a board games? Game, Earl?
It seems like a so. Disaster.
That's awesome.
We also own our musical instruments. Yeah, so yeah, your local library has a ton of great features. And
use it.
More,
you pay for it, use it.
More, well, I was going to say, more importantly than using it, you should also donate to your local library, because we need every penny we can get.
Oh,
and
God.
Not just because it keeps me employed.
So give money to Earl. You don't even need to give it to the library.
Dude.
Just find Earl, open your wallet, hand out a 20, walk away.
I'm okay with that too.
on my new route, my local library is on the route, and so when I was in there, I went to go look at what they had, and they had Midsummer, they had It Chapter 2, they had like all these like new movies on Blu-ray. I was like, are you serious, dude? And then I asked, like, how can you check out the time? She's like, 15? I was like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, you gotta be kidding me.
Oh, it's insane. Well, we don't do Blu-rays. We do DVDs still, because it's just easier.
It was a mix. I could tell it was a mix, but somebody had
yeah,
the Blu-ray.
We actually just changed elements this year, this past fiscal year change. But I didn't even notice. You could, at the time, not movies, but you could, at one time, you could take up 99 books and I believe 30 DVDs at once.
Insane for one
wow.
person.
I could just like walk up to the counter and be like, I need
it's
these
insane.
100 books.
Like,
yeah, people
so
do that.
Cool. It's so cool. Like, libraries need to stick around. They're the coolest things ever.
It's insane. Like, and it went down. When it went down to, like, you can take, like, 50 or 60 at a time now. And I'm just thinking, from what I understand, a lot of the times, it's either for research purposes or it's for children. Because kids will just go to the library and take out a bunch of books.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, even then, like, 50 books over 3 weeks is a lot of reading. I take yeah, like one I book and I don't find time for it.
But that would also mean like I could roll up and I would like to take out the entire collection of, like the entire bibliography of Stephen King, please. Like,
yeah,
I can't read all these in 3 weeks. It's impossible, but
you could take it all out if you did, wanted to.
I now have them all here at my house.
Yeah, the only thing, and I understand why we don't uniform it, is that everything has slightly different. So, like, I think books are 3 weeks, movies are a week, and instruments are a month. So it's like one of those things you have to like kind of understand what you're taking out and when you're taking it out to know when you have to return it.
Know when
it.
You have to bring it back, yeah.
Yeah. Though we also go in digital, we have an app that will you can renew your books on the app, and you can actually do self-checkout now, which is great. The only problem with renewals is you can renew a book if it's in general circulation, but if people have a hold on it, you can't renew it. And you can only renew a book up to 10 times, I think, which is about, 30 weeks? Which is more than enough to read something, I guess?
I would hope so.
Not for me.
Yeah,
I've literally done, I sat down to start reading a book and finished it in one sitting. Like, I've done that before.
I used to do that when I was younger, but now I was really young. I actually have a book sitting on my desk. I have two books sitting on my desk at work that I want to check out. I'm just like, I bring my Switch to work with me. And, okay, I do read. I will sit during my lunch break sometimes, and I'll go in the library and just pick like a random like reference book or resource book and flip through that and like, read stuff on that. But like, I don't like to take them out just because I'm going to forget them. Which, again, is really stupid to say when I already work in the building every day. But
I will forget to bring it back to work where I'm always at.
Yes, I will get to work like, oh, god damn it, I was supposed to bring something back today, wasn't I?
I stopped bringing my handhelds into work so I could get more reading time.
I should do that, but then I won't have time for my hardly play video games as it is.
See, I should schedule toilet time for books.
You should.
It's good.
Like an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you are an old man now, so you got to start thinking like one.
Your local library probably has a digital reading.
They have a bathroom.
Well. I mean, yes, I assume they have a bathroom. So I will have to say, because we are public utilities.
We'll
use restrooms are filthy.
Yeah.
Mine wasn't bad. I mean, it was bad after I was done, but it was nice.
Wonderful.
Okay. On that note, do we have anything else to talk about?
Jeff, you played some Resident Evil 5.
I did play that.
How's that game going?
Sucks. Do you like it?
It's better than 6.
It's way better than 6.
It's actually, like, gotta be honest, it's like, it models itself almost entirely after Resident Evil 4 in a lot of ways. Like, where even like, there's like the one level, there's like the one level where it's like, we're trying to do a giant Tomb Raider puzzle type thing. You know what I mean? Like you're running into different rooms, pulling levers to affect like the central hub room, you know, like shit like that. Right.
Yes.
It like leans a little more into the action, but like, again, it's very much like note for note, like Resident Evil 4 in a new setting, but, you have a, you know, partner with you now the entire way that, you know, someone could play with you co-op. But it just like there's something about it that lacks that spark of what Resident Evil 4 was. Like I just can't even like place my finger on it. It's just like every single level in Resident Evil 4 felt like kind of like inspired in some way. Like it had some cool idea to it, and like Resident Evil 5 was like, yeah, but what if we did a sequel and just did that again? You know, like we just kind of changed the setting and shit, and you can do 2-player.
Yeah,
it's good. It's fun. I think that's the hook,
right? Is that like, you can play it with another person.
Yeah, and like I said last week, it's my favorite game because of the co-op. But my absolute favorite part of that game is it's a part where you go through a factory and you see like one of the infected. I forget what they're called in 5. Not Osiris, because that's 4. And the game just really, like, you can go up to it, and the characters will say, definitely not a zombie. And I'm like, you really had to clarify there's no zombies in this game.
Jeff, you've also played some Sonic Adventure 2. Why?
Why?
Remember we talked about it last week? As soon as we finished, I started playing it.
You played it just so we'd have to talk about Sonic, didn't you?
He did. He did this on purpose.
I mean, Earl kind of like got on with Sonic with me a little bit. Like,
I enjoy Sonic Adventure 2, but I feel like Sonic Adventure 2 is one of those games that's my roommate. It's the same thing with actually Sonic Adventure. It's remembered more for its opening level than it is for the rest of the game. Because Escape from the City is just one of those iconic songs
that's
and
great.
Sonic.
Yeah.
The same way that Sonic Adventure has the world chase in the first level.
It's the only level that plays well, too.
Yeah, and I don't think the rest of the, and that's the problem, is the rest of the games never capture that feeling that you get in that first level. So it's like, oh man, this is really great. What else do you got? And it's like, oh, that was everything.
There's nothing there.
No, I also, I mean, I do and don't at the same time. The opening, not the open, the final boss, spoilers for a...
I'm not there yet, but yeah. I mean, I played
because that's when you're supersonic in space, right?
Okay.
Is that Adventure or Adventure 2?
It's been a while, so I don't know.
But yeah, I like that. But it's because of how the game is set up. It's really hard to actually have a sense of how fast you're going in space. But the fact that you're supersonic, you're just running into that corrupted chaos is pretty interesting.
I mean, look, I'm a huge defender, like, we've talked about this a billion times, but also recently, like, I'm a huge defender of the Sonic games, like, especially, like, post-Sonic Colors. Like, I think they're all pretty cool, mostly. Like, I never played Sonic Boom, and it looks terrible, but...
It's a great cartoon, though.
Is it, really?
Yeah,
anyways,
because...
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, it's self-run-to-run fruit. Self-referential and just humorous. It makes fun of Sonic.
What was I talking
about
again?
You were talking about you were a fan of Sonic and you defend Sonic post-Sonic Colors, but...
But Sonic Adventure 2... It's a poor game. Like, it's bad. And, like, I still love it because I have very fond memories of playing it on the GameCube, but, like... Okay, so... They're divided into three sections. We talk about this. Like, I think the Knuckles levels are terrible, but, like, also you just kind of roam around and you find the shit, and that's it. That's all you do. The fucking Tails levels are even worse. Like, it's just shooting, but you don't even aim at auto-aim. Walking through a level, pressing B. Like, it's fucking terrible. And then you have the Sonic levels, which are, like, they're fun and, like, they have the cool Sonic shit and whatever, but it's like they hadn't quite perfected how that shit... I mean, like, they still haven't, but they haven't quite even come close at this point, so you'll just go flying off the edge of the stage sometimes when you're, like, going down a pipe. Like, you just fly out the side of the half pipe. Like, what the fuck, you know? That's a lost life. And like, so like in the newer like Sonics, like when you're able to hone in on enemy, like it does a little like red circle where like the red circle like targets in on them, and then you press A again, and like he auto does that, like attacks them.
Yeah,
like, they have that in Sonic Adventure 2, but the red dot, like the red circle, does not fucking happen. So like you are the judge of like. All right, maybe I'll lock on and hit this thing. Maybe I'll hit A and go flying right past the enemy and fly off the fucking stage. And it's just like...
That reminds me of two things that I had an issue with that game. And just a lot of 3D Sonic games have done that. One, with Sonic Adventure in particular, you mentioned Sonic, Knuckles, and Tails. But you also have the same setup on the other side, because it's the bad side, too. So you have Shadow...
I never choose that path. I still have yet... Like, I've played Sonic Adventure a million times. I've never... I always go, oh, I'll play that path second, and I'm so sick of the game by the end of it, I never play it.
Anyways, you have to play both paths to see the end of the game, though.
Whatever.
Like, the true end of the game.
I played through all the levels. I'm good. You know...
Well, they have different levels, I believe.
Oh my god!
But the other thing is, like you mentioned,
are they better?
They have different levels. the other, I will be honest. I've not played this game since it came out on the Dreamcast. So
holy shit!
The other thing, and this happens in that game, but this also happens in some of the later Sonic 3D games, is that home attack is such a crutch in the games that sometimes the levels are so poorly designed that if you actually screw up when like hit an enemy and you don't, like, there's no way to progress. And it's
there's parts like that in Sonic Adventure 2.
Yeah, and it's such a terrible design, and I don't know why they've never really fixed that. And I don't know why they made it such a crutch that it's like you have to hit this the first time, or
at least
you're
like
done.
In the later games, it feels good, and it looks like you know when you like. All right, when the red circle goes on the enemy, then I hit A, right? And like here, you think you're doing it, and you just go flying into the fucking clouds, and you die. It's like that sucks, dude. Like it doesn't feel good. Like, anyways, that's my rant on Sonic Adventure 2. Like it's, there's a place in my heart for that game always. But if I had to rate on how much I've played so far, I'd probably give it like a 4 out of 10. Honestly, dude, like it's that bad.
Sorry that your Sonic Adventure 2, it's not.
And yeah, I still keep playing it when I have hundreds of games to play.
Yes, and you'll be back next week with Resident Evil, Code Veronica, and I don't know, Sonic 06.
I did buy Code Veronica.
Of course you did.
Is it really bad? Is that a bad one?
No, Code Veronica is good.
Okay.
It's just, you won't like it because it is pre-RE4.
I mean, I love the old style, though. Like, does it, like, is it, like, a true Resident Evil game?
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's a real Resident Evil.
The only thing I would note about Code Veronica in comparison to Resident Evil at the time is that it's kind of like the Resident Evil 6. It's not that bad, but it's kind of like the Resident Evil 6 where they try to make it a bit more bigger and action-oriented. Especially coming off of 2 and 3 with like Nemesis and Mr. X. Like, I think this one also starts with the helicopter chase? Or are you being shot up by a helicopter in a building?
I don't remember that.
I'm guessing this one actually looks like shit now, too, considering it hasn't been.
Well,
PlayStation 2.
It was a
Dreamcast game. And then it came to the PS2, Code Veronica X. And I assume you're playing the 360 version, which was the HD upraised version. So, it doesn't look great.
I mean, like, the character models are clearly better in the later games, but I mean, the benefit of a lot of some of the pre-rendered backgrounds is like they still look good,
yeah,
because they're really nothing. It's just kind of like a good painted backdrop.
Is it tank control still, or is it
tank controls?
Really?
Yeah, that's like, why I said you're not going to like
tank controls.
Yeah.
There's no option to change it to I just press the stick.
No.
What? That was the thing that was crazy. Introduced in 4.
It was introduced in Resident Evil 2 on N64, dude. Like, you could totally play it that way.
Maybe they fixed it for the 360 release of it, but I mean, I played it on the Dreamcast.
I can deal with those. I fucking hate those controls.
Have you ever paid Zero?
They're not good. Huh?
Have you paid Zero?
Yeah. Those games have, like, those, you do type C control, and you just hold down the right trigger, and they auto run. Like, and if you play Zero on Xbox One, it's like, it just plays just normally.
Well, the HD version of Zero.
Like, that is, like, the hugest upgrade of those games, where it's like, oh, fuck yes. It plays like a normal game now.
But they were normal games then.
No, I'm sorry. Like, there was no excuse even back then for why they controlled like that. I don't know. Whatever.
They created atmosphere, Jeff. Great. I'm playing Dino Crisis now.
It's still the same thing if it controls better. Like, it's still the.
Even if
it controls better, like, it's still deliberate and you have to think about your moves. Like, it still is that way. I don't know.
Anyway, one final thing before we go. I've been tinkering with a DS emulation.
How is that?
It works really well, actually. It's weird though, because The DS had a touchpad, so you're using your mouse as the touchpad. Like they,
I'm sure there's games that would play totally fine though that way. Like,
but there are games that you didn't have to use the touchpad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But even the ones with the touchpad, like it's as awkward as playing a DS game that had the touchpad because, you know, if you're using the D-pad and then you had to have your stylus out, like, it's kind of the same thing. Like, you're using the mouse instead. So, I don't know. The emulator itself, though, because of the way the DS was, because it was dual screens, the emulator has like a weird bezel around it that I'm not a huge fan of, but the emulation itself, really good. The games work pretty much spotless. So, it's an interesting thing to see, people out there figuring out how to emulate a system that was not designed for this, but, DS is, right now, I guess you can still play DS games on the 3DS, but at some point those systems are going to, they're going to start fading away. You're going to have a harder time finding them. And, even though there is like 140 million of them out there. So, but, the emulation, it's cool. It's a cool thing. I don't know how much of it I'll actually play, but
some good games in there.
There are some good games. I mean, I still have my 3DS, so I can still play DS games that way. But there are some that like I can't easily get, so I might try it that way. But yeah, that's out there. It's pretty cool, and it works. So
I got a fun little like story before we go. I alluded to this before.
Yeah,
you guys were talking about backwards compatible games and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So the sometime in the last week, I wanted to play Prince of Persia: The Sands of Time. Like, I would really love to play this game. Is it on Xbox? And so I go onto the store on my Xbox and like I search it and like it pops up, but if you click, it'll be like you have to go on Xbox.com to purchase this game. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. It's weird, but like I've had situations before where like I've seen situations before like where the sale price on Xbox.com was cheaper than just buying it off your Xbox. And it's virtually the same thing. So I was like, all right, let's go check this out. So I searched the game on Xbox.com. I find the page, I click on it. And it's kind of the same game description and everything as on the store on the Xbox, and it says the same thing. It's just like you have to go on Xbox.com to buy this. I'm like, there's no buy button on the actual website. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Is like this game delisted or what?
Like, did you already own it?
No.
Okay.
No, like this is a better conclusion than that. It's weird. I finally like found it by like Googling the game again and then like finding it. There was like a separate page like on Xbox.com with the same game. And I was like, what the fuck? And I clicked on that and it was available to buy on there. And the best thing I could figure is near the end of the 360's life cycle, they started to release Xbox games digitally like as backwards compatible.
Yep.
And it was released on that. And since I bought it through that specific page on their website, it worked. And when I went to my ready to install games, it was there. And so it's like a weird, like it's literally like a hidden game on the Xbox One now. You could play Prince of Persia: The Sands of Time, like download it digitally, or you could just buy the disc, I'm sure, and it would work. One sad detail is like, it's totally the old standard like aspect ratio, total square. Oh,
yeah. I mean, it's
literally
it's
like
the Xbox game.
Yeah, and so like, but the Xbox game had no widescreen option, I guess, and so it's just like, yeah, that's it's gonna look just like that on your TV. But you can do it. It was only like $10, I think.
Yeah, So I'm playing Knights of the Old Republic, the Xbox version of
that.
But
that's one you could just get. Like, you could get that, I think, maybe even Game Pass, but, like, it's on the store easily.
Yeah, no, but, like, same thing, the aspect ratio.
Yeah, there's no adjusting it.
4:3. Jeff, I just typed in Prince of Persia into Xbox.com and immediately found the game.
Was not the first option the like the one that just says like you have to like it was just blank?
No, it says it's $9.99.
Weird, man. I swear to God, like, yeah.
Did you type in the whole thing like Prince of Persia : The Sands of Time?
Yeah.
I just typed in Prince of Persia and it gave me all the Prince of Persia games, and the fourth one in is Sands of Time.
Well, there you go. I guess it's easier to find.
It's there. Jeff found a weird version.
No, like, I swear to God, every time I Googled it or searched it, like, the top version, like, on their website was not the 360 version. It just kind of was.
Like, I know what site you're talking about. It's like, because it actually, where you have to buy it from is actually the old. It's the old marketplace.
Yeah, so it's like it wasn't the top result for me when I searched. Like, maybe I was just using Google instead of the...
You know what? So, also, but I'm looking here. So, if I just type in Prince of Persia Xbox and hit go, it'll bring up a list of Xbox One games and a list of Xbox 360 games. If I click on the Xbox One game, that's the one. Yep, that's the one you were at.
Yeah,
so you I went down to the one that had a price on it.
It's like, if you go even on your PC, it tells you to go, like, to, like...
Yep.
Yeah, like, I'm already here, you know?
Yeah, so it's like, buy on Xbox.com or Xbox 360. You can't buy this on Xbox One.
So, hidden little game.
If you go to the 360 list, so just type in the game you want and press enter and go to the 360 version, which has the price.
And if you have not played that game, or even if you have, like, that game's awesome. That game is still really cool.
Do they have the other two?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Those were, like, I think, like, the other two were on 360, so right, is that what you're talking about? Like the two warriors or two princes or whatever the fuck it was called.
Yep.
And
yeah.
The last one with the what was it called? Forgotten Sands?
It was Warrior Within and the Two Princes, I believe. The Forgotten Sands was the fourth game in the series.
Yeah, they have, I think, all of them. But the first one will not show up at all. Like, you have to, like, again, you have to do, like, exactly what you said.
Nice.
And that all one is, in my opinion, the best one.
Yeah. I think Forgotten Sands is the next closest one.
So. Yeah. I agree.
All right. So that's it. We'll be back next week.
If we don't delay, this hit a fall.
Or, yeah, we might be delayed till September. Fill in that time slot. You know, maybe October, so we can fill in the spot between September and December. But yeah, well, hopefully we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.